I was working with a lot of direct-to-consumer distribution companies, so companies in the film space who are trying to get their films out there and seen by people but didn't have traditional distribution deals. They were selling things like merch and DVDs and that kind of stuff. And that's when I first discovered Shopify and started using and building themes and a few little apps and stuff.
Welcome to the Milk Bottle Shopify e-commerce podcast, brought to you by Milk Bottle Labs, Ireland's top-rated Shopify experts. Milk Bottle Labs build, upgrade, migrate, and market Shopify and Shopify Plus stores all over the world. Milk Bottle will migrate you onto Shopify with zero interruption, guaranteed, or optimize your Shopify store and maximize store sales. This podcast is kindly supported by our favorite Shopify app and the only app we install in every store. Rewind.io is the leading backup solution for your Shopify store. We'll talk more about Rewind later. Now over to your host, founder of Milk Bottle Labs, Keith Matthews.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Milk Bottle Shopify e-commerce podcast. Today I'm joined by Kieran Masterton, a former Shopify Plus employee based in the UK. Kieran has up on 6 years of experience with Shopify, which is more than most people that I've met. Kieran is now an independent Shopify app development and solutions consultant, and he's also the co-founder of Default HQ. Kieran, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad, Kieran. It is Thursday afternoon here. Nice, crisp spring, February morning. It's all good. It's not raining. So what part of the UK are you in?
I'm in, I'm just outside Bath in the southwest. So I'm in Bradford-on-Avon.
Very good. A lot of history down there. That's quite close to our good friend, Mr. Kerr Whittaker, isn't it?
He certainly is. Yes, he's just around the corner. So I can't escape him.
You can't. Well, you can't escape him anyway because you're now in business with him. But we'll get to that in a while. I'm really interested to talk to you primarily because obviously what's the work that you're doing with Default HQ. But I've also just seen some of your video content, and the effort and the actual content itself, I think, is exactly what the Shopify ecosystem needs. We'll talk about that in a while. Mm-hmm. I just want to roll back the clock a bit. In my intro there, I was just letting everybody know that you're in the Shopify ecosystem for, you know, up on 6 years, which is, yes, you know, a decent amount of experience. So how did you find Shopify, or how did you end up working for Shopify?
I think I first came across Shopify because of Keir, actually, prior to him working for Shopify. I was working with a lot of direct-to-consumer distribution companies, so companies in the film space who are trying to get their films out there and seen by people but didn't have traditional distribution deals. They were selling things like merch and DVDs and that kind of stuff. And that's when I first discovered Shopify and started using and building themes and a few little apps and stuff. And then obviously it led on to working for Shopify a couple of years after that.
So you were in a completely different industry. Was it a technical role or a marketing role that you were in?
Yeah. So I was in a technical role. So I've been a developer for probably approaching 20 years, believe it or not. And I was building mainly web apps for these distribution companies, film distribution companies. And then they, you know, obviously had this desire to sell stuff, and they didn't want to go via their sort of, you know, wholesale type partners, people who are buying it to sell it on. So they wanted to go direct. And so they discovered Shopify via talking to Keir.
Interesting. I'll give you a funny story, actually. 2 years ago at Unite 2018, I bumped into a guy at the after party on this. The after party is, I think it's on the second night before the last night. So yes, you can go to the party and fly home the next night, which I'm sure some people think it's a great idea, but it's a lot of sorry heads, unfortunately, on the last day. But I met this guy from the States. I can't quite remember what state he was from. And he went to university with the granddaughter of Willie Nelson.
Really?
Wow. This is a mad story. But he was playing with code. Like, this guy was in his mid-40s, so probably, entered university maybe mid-90s. And it was early times for e-commerce. Long story short, he ended up building Willie Nelson's first website. And out of that, he ended up in the UK on an internship with his university, and he ended up building Paul McCartney's first store or first website.
Wow.
Yeah. He now manages the e-commerce stores for some of the biggest music labels in the world, including Michael Jackson.
because he was there, on the ground floor, basically, when it all started.
He was there on the ground floor, and I'm assuming then that, Paul McCartney is, he's music royalty. He probably got into the actual labels themselves. And he's actually, would you believe, he is one of Shopify's biggest affiliates, and he is...
Really?
Yeah. He's also one of FedEx's biggest customers in the US.
I bet.
He told me that an airplane leaves Austin, Texas every day full of his merchandise.
Whoa.
Amazing story. Anyway, that was a slight segue, but that's an interesting background. So you were in the entertainment industry and you ended up heading over to Shopify. So as a developer, when you met Shopify, did you think it was oversimplistic? Did you think this thing was fantastic? What was can you even remember your gut reaction when you saw it?
Yeah, I think my gut reaction was I was impressed by... There was already sort of an ecosystem around Shopify to a certain degree. I wasn't, super early. So there was already, the App Store and stuff existed and things like that, I remember. And I remember being impressed by the platform that they were building, but obviously, like many developers, being pretty frustrated by the limitations. So I think that was the main thing, the kind of, you get so far and then the API would would let you down or wouldn't allow you to do something. Not so much on the theme side, because I was never really, a heavy front-end developer. I was always more of a sort of back-end Ruby developer. So it was really the app space where I felt those limitations. But overall, I was really impressed by Shopify from the beginning and thought there was a lot that Shopify were doing that, people working in the distribution and film space could learn from.
So that's six, seven years ago, is it?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, gosh, even the app space has improved significantly since then.
Amazingly,
amazingly. I remember I interviewed Jay Myers from Bold, and he told me that the first app they ever had, I think it was the product upsell app.
Yeah.
It kind of broke Shopify a few times in the early days.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Just your reference there to the APIs. So you ended up in Shopify. So Shopify's employee base in the UK in those days would have been very small, would it?
Yes, yeah. So that was... I joined early 2017, so I'd been working with it for a little bit, on and off. I was working with WordPress a lot and Ruby, building apps in Ruby and doing kind of like scale stuff with WordPress, so trying to, help people scale WordPress sites. And I joined Shopify. I'd been a consultant doing that stuff, independently, and then I joined Shopify early 2017. And I think I was probably the third plus employee in the UK. And there was probably a total of about five or six of us at that point, in total of all Shopify Plus and Core. So it was a very small team and very early days really for the team in Europe, though obviously there were plenty of merchants and plenty of partners by that point.
I think, the UK is obviously now one of their largest markets, and obviously they've been building up the team there. So what specifically did you do for the Plus team, Karen?
So I joined as a launch engineer, and that role kind of has evolved and, been molded over the years. But essentially, I was a technical consultant for people launching sort of larger merchants joining the Plus platform, basically helping with migrations and sort of consulting on the design of custom apps and that kind of stuff.
So would you have been brought into the conversation with a client in the pre-sale stage?
No, so that would be a solutions engineer. So a solutions engineer comes in during pre-sales, and then once the merchant has signed, the launch engineer takes over and takes the merchant through to launch, when they then hand over to the MSM. So I mean, it's really that phase when there's going to be a lot of kind of bumps in the road, perhaps in finding technical roadblocks and stuff, and the launch engineer's job is to kind of unblock the merchant and the partner, I guess, at that point.
Okay, and so if we jump into what you're doing now, then you've left Shopify Plus, obviously you haven't left the environment.
No.
So you're now acting then as an independent solutions consultant for independent businesses, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So between the two, I moved to the developer experience team internally at Shopify. So I moved from Plus to Core, and that's where I got, a real sort of education in the APIs and how, APIs as a product are built. Shopify, and that was the last 12 to 14 months of my time at Shopify was working in that team. And then in July last year, I left to really kind of like take the two roles and bring them together, but as an independent. So my focus is obviously API as a specialism, but doing that, the solutioning piece for app developers who maybe have a roadblock of some kind, or agencies who are working with a merchant and they've got some kind of big hairy problem they need to solve and they'd like my technical input.
So I suppose most agencies have in-house experience, and enough depth of knowledge to solve the majority of problems. So you'd be just working with an agency on a short-term basis, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. Normally either even just one-off phone call, as a second opinion, or a phone call to sort of work through the angles and see if there's a different way to kind of skin the problem that they've already come up with a solution for. And sometimes I'm working with agencies in a kind of scoping and requirements gathering capacity. So I work with the merchant directly in that case and gather their requirements, their business needs, and scope the project from the technical side, and either come up with a scope of work or, a breakdown of technically what's required for them to quote using, or a technical design, depending on if, the agency has app dev experience in-house.
Let's take a short break and I'll share the one app we install on every Shopify build. The team at Rewind.io have developed the leading backup solution for Shopify. Did you know there is no way of recovering lost data from a Shopify store? Rewind.io automatically backs up your store data. In the event of a data loss, usually due to human error, Rewind enables you to rewind your store back to its previous state. It's so simple and is used by some of the world's leading Shopify agencies, such as Kurt Elster of EtherCycle and Kelly Vaughan at the Tap Room. If your store is gaining traction, you may have multiple users making changes. Often store owners allow team or app developers enter a store to add code. Sometimes mistakes happen and data gets deleted. You can reduce your business risk today and prevent a costly catastrophe by installing the Rewind.io app on your Shopify store. Get your first month of Rewind for free by simply responding to any of the welcome messages or emails you receive after you begin your 7-day trial and mention this podcast. Now, back to the interview. Pierre, does that put you under a bit of pressure? You're obviously very much, you're knowledgeable and very, I suppose, much an expert on the Shopify side. But is it a case where customers come to you with a different set of problems every time? Like they probably know what Shopify can do, but they could be trying to integrate into an EPOS provider or some sort of a high-end warehouse management system. Is it
difficult? Or something.
Do you find yourself constantly upskilling then on everything else other than Shopify?
I do and I don't. So I typically, if there's another piece of technology in the mix, if this is, say, if we're designing a piece of middleware, I normally try and get my hands on an account manager at that particular piece of software house, whatever it may be, and use them as a resource. But I do end up doing a fair amount of, research into different platforms, and especially when it comes to things like payment gateways, because you can quite rarely get access to technical people at the payment gateway. So you do find yourself digging into a lot of documentation and working with that a lot.
That sounds particularly interesting, though, because obviously you have to scale up constantly on Shopify's updates, but they're easily got, really. I mean, they're public knowledge. It sounds like a challenge.
Yeah, it is a challenge, especially when the provider, the other party is maybe, in another country like, Japan or Thailand, and it's a payment provider in those countries, and you're trying to, find out specific information about how they handle, API requests, for example.
And Kieran, like, what's the process there? Somebody goes to you, you do your investigation, you talk to both parties, three parties, whatever, how many third parties are involved, you document it, and then you give it to the client, and then you walk away from the project. Is that right?
Typically, yeah. So there'll be a series of discovery calls. I will work through my research phases after each call, come up with more questions and have discussions and choices that maybe the merchant needs to make about how the workflow is going to work. And then I'll produce either a scoping document or a technical design, depending on what the assignment is. And then I'll do a handover. That typically is a call with a technical person from the agency and, the project manager. And then I'm normally available for sort of ad hoc questions during the project kickoff or during the sprint or whatever that's the company are doing.
Yeah, so you don't run away. You're available in the event something does go wrong.
That's it, yeah.
Well, I was going to ask you, how was it leaving, a PLC and going independent? But you were independent before you went into Shopify, weren't you?
I was, yeah. So I was independent and then I went to Shopify, which obviously then saw, a huge amount of growth at Shopify, and then, left to go independent again.
Very good. Okay, I want to start talking about this really interesting stuff that you're involved when it comes to Default HQ.
Yes.
And Cure. I was on LinkedIn yesterday and I watched your video on the Shopify APIs. Mm-hmm. I'm not technical, I'm semi-technical. I can have a conversation with somebody, but I'm certainly not in any way technical. That's probably the best way to describe it. So the content that you're producing is all part of Default HQ. So explain exactly what Default HQ is.
Yeah, so Default is a company that Kira and I kind of imagined after we left Shopify. And it's a company that aims to create services and products specifically for the partner community. And really trying to look at the sort of, I guess, some of the pain points in the partner world and address those with a product or a service. In the case of the video content, this is us, you know, trying to provide a more sort of digestible and bite-sized way for people to, you know, dive into a subject. So, for example, the last video was about the product media APIs. They're brand new in January this year. And it was just us sort of trying to shortcut developers' knowledge so they can, you know, quickly level up on that and then, you know, move on to digging into actually writing some code.
Is the content directed towards Shopify merchants, Shopify developers? Who's it directed towards?
Yeah, everything that Default does is focused on partners. So, you know, the content in our podcast is aimed at partners, the content in the YouTube channel is aimed at partners. Debrief, which is our event, Kira ran independently with Cat Hunter last year, which is an event after Unite to really digest what's been announced at Unite. That's firmly aimed at partners. So everything that we do is focused on, you know, sort of serving the partner community.
I mean, I think it's a great idea what you're doing. The content is, the internet is obviously full of poor content, but like it's a big ask and a big undertaking to start producing, you know, technical footage and information, which I suppose some people are going to depend on. So what led you to actually going down the video route, considering it's probably the hardest form of media to create?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things there. One was that I saw a real gap with quality Shopify content in the video form. I think the last videos that I've seen that were really solid were Kier's original Liquid videos, and then some more recent stuff a couple of years ago, which was the Build an App in 5 minutes series, which was put out by Shopify themselves. And I just didn't see very much decent content in that format. And for me, as a developer, that's the way I've always learned. You know, I wanted to pick up Rails, and so I went and found Railscasts by Ryan Bates, which was an amazing resource for Rails developers, where he just created screencasts of him talking about a specific subject and put them out there for free. And I think that I saw how he'd done that, and I saw how other people were doing that in the Node space or whatever. And I thought, you know, this is something that Shopify developers need. You know, this is something that would be beneficial to them. And I think for me, I won't sit down and regularly write a blog post, for example. And also, you know, personally speaking, I don't learn very well from blog posts. So I felt that maybe the video option was the best one. And that coupled with our podcast, which is more of a kind of conversational style around a specific subject each episode, that was kind of, you know, the two-pronged approach that we're taking, you know, this kind of conversational piece and then a much more technical tutorial thing via video.
Your point about the blog is interesting. Like, I've no idea what sort of changes Google are going to make, but you know, any client that we talk to, they all find it very difficult to produce written content unless they have a dedicated resource.
Yes.
I mean, if you look at even myself and Peter and the team in Milk Bottle, I mean, I personally find it easier to produce a podcast than even assign a member of the team to specifically write a piece of content on a particular area of Shopify. It's also more enjoyable, at least with the video and with the podcast, you know, you've got stats. I mean, I find the statistics just extremely interesting. The amount of people that are listening to this particular podcast all around the world.
Yeah.
And then that leads me to my next point, which is it's one of the easiest ways of actually getting the word out worldwide very, very quickly. Because just as it's less enjoyable to write a blog, I think the world is moving and it's more enjoyable for listeners to listen to a podcast or watch a video.
No, I completely agree.
I do question whether Google will make changes to how it ranks stores based on digital content versus written content. I must maybe get an SEO expert in to actually talk about that, because people are enjoying video and podcasts, the spoken word, way more to listen to, and also people are enjoying it, producing it. So
yeah, and also, you know, obviously Google are focusing on video in their search results, aren't they? Because they're surfacing YouTube videos immediately at the beginning of every search page. So it makes sense.
Yeah, they are. And I've also noticed on image search lately that if you search for a particular image, it will render an image in the results, even though it's a screen grab of a YouTube video.
Yeah, they're taking the thumbnail from the video and surfacing it in images.
So in terms of the first one, or the one that I saw, was on API versioning, isn't that right?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was the first video.
So in terms of your direction of travel for the rest of the content, is it going to be as technical as that? Or are you going to talk about, for example, when they release Sections Everywhere? Is that something you'd be talking about?
Yeah, that'll definitely be something we talk about. So we're kind of working through 2020.01, which is the current version of the API at the moment. There's a lot of changes in that version. So we're working through a multi-part series of that. But then we're going to move on to other subjects. So there's other videos planned, both in the technical world. So, you know, maybe theme development, you say Sections Everywhere. But also, I did a video on the Ajax API this morning. And I think we'll probably progress into talking about non-technical subjects as well. So maybe issues that partners have on the business side. So maybe talking about recruiting or marketing, especially with Kia's experience of marketing. You know, those are all, you know, valid subjects for the channel as well. But right now, I think for the first sort of half of this year, it can be very much technically focused.
So in terms of We Are Default, is recruitment a direction that you will go in?
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, we've already got plans, or we're working on at the moment, for a job board specifically focused on Shopify recruitment. So yeah, that will be launching, fingers crossed, before Unite. And it's really, the focus there is creating a central space for people to post Shopify jobs and for Shopify experienced staff. So not necessarily just developers, but PMs, account managers, all that stuff, to go to the job board and find work.
Well done, Kieran. That's a great idea.
Thank you. Thanks.
Yeah, I say that we just made a hire this week, and we had to go down through the traditional channels of other job boards, which are expensive. And we also used LinkedIn,
yeah,
which is also expensive. And then, of course, if you have a budget for a recruiter, well, then that's even more expensive. So,
do you specifically look for Shopify experience when you recruit, or you look for a solid developer or a solid designer?
That's a good question. It depends on the role. For the last role, like the role that we just hired for, was a client-facing project manager. And really, we needed somebody with Shopify experience for that one. Because if you took on a non-Shopify project manager, I mean, I'm sure they would have wonderful abilities in terms of managing a project, but you would basically have to educate the individual from the ground up on Shopify. To answer your question, I think it would be easier to educate a Shopify experienced individual on project management rather than doing it the other way around and educating a project manager on Shopify. So I may be wrong, and of course it depends on the individual, but we use Basecamp extensively and we have some pretty decent templates built out. So we would personally find it easier to steer a Shopify asset in the direction of project management. So for us, that was the best fit.
Yeah, that makes sense.
In terms of development talent, really it depends on, I suppose, their experience and whether it's front or back end. We deal with that on a case-by-case basis.
It may be easy to pick up Liquid, for example, than to immerse yourself in the APIs. Yeah,
absolutely. I don't want to let you go without talking about the event, the post-Unite event. Give us a summary of what you have planned for Unite 2020.
Yeah, sure. So Debrief was his first year last year, run by Kat and Keir. Kat's sadly not with us this year because she's with her little daughter Betty, who was recently born. But we are back in 2020, and the purpose of Debrief is to bring partners together after Unite. Obviously, there's a lot of big announcements that impacts everyone's business, and also, you know, presents amazing opportunity at Unite. And the idea is to digest the announcements and kind of pick things apart and work out what it means for our businesses. Last year, there was four or five panels chaired by normally a kind of, I guess the expression would be Shopify veteran, you know, somebody who's a name in the industry. And this year, we're going to do the same thing again, but this time we're going to try and bring quite a bit more new, fresh talent to the panels, if you see what I mean. So still stick with an industry veteran steering things, but have sort of a fresh perspective on the panels.
Great. The reaction to it last year was absolutely fantastic. I remember talking to Kerr about it, and he was described, the best way he said he could describe it was like a luggage lounge at an airport where most people had delayed their flight home so they could attend.
Trust Keir to create a travel analogy. Yeah.
It's a wonder he didn't go into the detail of the backpacks that everybody was wearing. Exactly. But anyway, yeah, so, and look, it's great. It's a wonderful idea. There's two concepts there that are just brilliant. The recruitment side is great. And when you know more about that, I'll have probably yourself or Kerr on to talk about it more. So, Kieran, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you today. And look, the best of luck with Default HQ. And I shall see you at the event in Toronto.
Likewise. Thank you, Keith. It's been great.
Thanks for your time.
Thanks for listening to the Milk Bottle Shopify e-commerce podcast. All of our episodes are available on Spotify and iTunes. We really appreciate the support of our sponsor, Rewind.io, the leading backup solution for your Shopify store. Get your first month of Rewind for free. Just respond to any of the welcome messages or emails after you begin your 7-day free trial and mention our podcast. Until the next time, take care.